This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome inside the big studio here at 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani is here. That's me. I never said that before.
That
like
is that. You, Bob.
That is me. How would I say that? It's early in the morning. I'm liable to say anything.
Austin Bechtold is here.
Joe Starkey is not here, but he's busy being a grandfather.
Yes.
I see, and playing some golf, so he's having some of the vacation time. So, Joe, hit it straight, grip it, rip it. But how old is the grandchild?
I don't even think 1 year's old
yet.
Yeah,
so I mean, just be careful. Don't try to hit a golf shot with the baby in your hand. That's my advice for you today. We welcome you into the show today. We have a lot to get into. But I will tell you that fan text line, if you want to use that, now Austin's on it quite a bit, so you can go back and forth with Austin here. It's brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And fan Twitter is brought to you South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan hotline is also presented to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service over 50 years. So, Austin, yesterday as we left, the news was just coming out about O'Neal Cruz being in the home run derby contest. And I saw that Adam Crowley had a problem with the fact that he was doing it based on his 203 average and, you know, low numbers across the board. But honestly, in this kind of competition, things have changed. And he's not the first one, by the way, who's been a non-all-star and played. So it's happened before. Cespedes did it. Vlad Guerrero did it. I think Cespedes may have won the thing, even though he wasn't on the roster. So, I mean, it's a freak show. You're trying to find guys who have the ability to hit it long, like O'Neal Cruz did yesterday when he hit one 457 feet, I think it was, in Kansas City. So if you can get those kind of guys, that's what that show's all about. I have no problem with it. Yet we did have a lot of people on social media side with Adam who said, you know, he shouldn't be there based on everything else. You should be on the all-star roster. Well, I will say this. Ronald Acuña Jr. is on that roster, but he's missed most of the year. He came back, and he hasn't, you know, he was a fan favorite. So, any way you want to put it, I don't care. I want to see the best that I can see. In the NBA, they have Mac McClung, who's won it twice, the slam dunk contest. He's in the G League. He can't even play in the league. It doesn't matter. He's got more hops than most people. So, I think it's a good move by baseball. And I would not be surprised. I don't know what the betting odds are, but I would not be surprised if he wins the thing.
No, it does not surprise me that he's in it. It would not surprise me either if Major League Baseball asked a bunch of other people before O'Neal Cruz just because he doesn't have that offensive production. But at the same time, Bob, like this is the Home Run Derby is an entertainment product.
Right.
Not like the game where you are worthy. And that was like the big thing thrown around by Crowley. Does O'Neal Cruz deserve to be in the Home Run Derby? Well, he hits the ball 122 miles an hour, the hardest that anybody has ever hit it in the StatCast era. It's about entertainment. If this was about who was hitting the most home runs, you would just put the top six guys, top eight guys in the home run leaderboard right now in the Home Run Derby. But it's not about that. So I have no problem with Cruz being there. I'm excited to see Cruz there. And the fact of the matter is, he could win the thing just based on pure talent and athleticism that he has in the box.
Plus, it's like batting practice.
Yes.
You know? So you're going to get in there. He knows where the pitches are coming. He can hit them as hard as he can hit them. And I don't have any doubt he's going to be a competitor in this, even with the guys like Cal Raleigh, who was favored to win this thing. But, man, when you hit it as far as he does, and he did last night, but in a losing effort once again, which is where we're headed to now, because the Pirates lost again. That's five in a row. You know, and again, wasted Mitch Keller. How many times have we said that this year? Mitch Keller is one of those guys. We talk a lot about Skeens and the fact that he has a 4-7 record and the fact that he has number one across the board in most every metric for pitchers, including ERA, actually number two in the league. But still, my point is he can't get a win. But Mitch Keller has been actually victimized more than Paul Skeens. He's had more quality starts that have not resulted in anything unless you consider a loss or a no decision, something, because that's all he gets.
And how about Keller last night, Bob? He sticks in the game, faces an extra batter. Even Greg Brown and Kevin Young were saying on the TV broadcast, like, well, they're sticking with Mitch Keller. I like the decision. We'll see if they can get him out of this. And then, boom, he gives up a home run to a guy we've never heard of that also walks them off.
Yeah, Nick Lofton had a pretty good series so far against the Pirates. He had two home runs in the series, including a walk-off hit. And I thought it was strange in the ninth inning. But it tells you something about Isaac Mattson that Donnie Kelly has gone to him in very high leverage situations more and more and more. And he brought in Dennis Santana to start the ninth. He got into trouble. So he brings in Mattson first and third, which is a tough position to be in. I think he was looking for a strikeout because Mattson has done that. But it tells you what he thinks of Isaac Mattson.
No, he thinks very highly of him. And I understand why. He's come in and basically been their Jared Hughes at times. Get out of a jam, find a way to induce a ground ball or strike out, whatever necessary. Mattson has been a pleasant surprise, and typically that happens like every year. Like, usually you find a reliever that nobody really expected. Like Ryan Barucki a couple years ago was that. The John Holtzcomb experience was that. I just hope for Madsen's sake that he's able to continually sustain it. He's done a good job this year.
Yeah, and he's a good story too for how far he's come, and no one gave him really a shot, and here he is in the majors and working himself into a bullpen high leverage role. But that brings us back to Keller, because it's a big topic as we get closer to the trade deadline. More and more people are siding with the thought that Mitch Keller should not be traded, that he is an innings eater, that he is someone who you're trying to put together a quality pitching staff with some unknowns yet on this staff. Yeah, talented, but unknowns. And we've seen a lot of them fizzle out. Do you keep him knowing he has 3 years left? Do you know exactly what he's making? They agreed to that contract. Or do you move him? If you move him and Jared Jones struggles when he comes back from his injury, and Burrows is not what you think he is, or Ashcraft stumbles, or any of these guys we're talking about. Chandler has really struggled over the last 3 weeks down there at AAA. Do you think it's worth trading him? My answer to that is yes, because you could win with him, you can lose with him, and lose without him. You can do a lot of things. If he gets the right return, I'm not opposed to anyone being moved if you get the right return.
So here's how I view this, and I was thinking about this a lot last night watching the game. Mitch Keller would be a perfect number three in your rotation in a playoff series. And I know Pirates in playoffs is like frowned upon words to use in the same sentence in the last 10 years. But the fact of the matter is, he is a guy that if you actually can contend next year, you want around, because he's consistent, at least in the first half of seasons. Last 2 years in the second half, he's blown up like a pumpkin at times. I worry about that, and I wonder what this second half will bring for him. But he's somebody who you can typically depend on and always puts together 200 innings. He, knock on wood, stays healthy. He's an innings eater. But he's also your biggest fish that you can trade at the deadline to be able to acquire something. So I think it probably would be better, because they have so much depth, to trade Keller and acquire a big-time bat or two bats, where maybe they're two younger guys right in AAA that are actually guys that you believe are going to hit, not like the Malcolm Nunez's and the Billy Cooks and the Nick Yorks of the world. But if they end up keeping Keller, I won't be knocking them. I won't be, you know, throwing eggs at houses all upset that they kept him, because he's still a really good pitcher that they could use in their rotation.
Yeah, but here's the magical word you use there, Austin: depth.
Yeah.
How do you define depth for me?
Well, and I'm the one that said, I think we're overestimating how much depth they have.
And that's why I'm saying you think you have it. Again, it's more prospect driven. You think Chandler's going to be. But hypothetically, from that point of view, you're correct. If Chandler turns out to be what we think he could be, along with Skeens and Jones comes back from injury, you put Mitch Keller in the middle of those three, you have four really good options at pitcher. They've already been terrific in pitching this year. If they had any bats, they would have probably flipped their record completely around.
Yeah,
so next year,
been good too.
Yes, and at times he should be traded, though, just because he's not going to be around. They'll find somebody like him next year. But, you know, the bottom line, though, is if it doesn't work out and you trade Keller, the depth that you think you have is not really there.
No.
If Chandler comes up and is not what what you expect him to be, or if Jones comes back and has trouble with his injury, those are two big arms that you've been counting on, hypothetically, for quite a long time. So I think it depends on the return, and this will challenge Ben Cherington. Hit us up if you have a comment about that at 412-928-9370. Who else on this roster do you think would bring the biggest return if you were Ben Cherington looking at, and take Skeens out of it because that's not going to happen, but anyone else, who would bring the biggest return?
Well, first on Chandler, one quick note, a little bit of optimism is his last start was on the 4th of July. He brought out the fireworks, 6 innings, 5 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. So walk numbers down, strikeout numbers in a good spot. He did walk 4 in his previous outing before that. So a little bit better in his last outing, but still some areas of concern. Who would be traded?
Who would get the most? Of anyone on this roster, who do you think would bring the most back?
Keller. Keller, and just because I think a starting pitcher with years of control is more valuable than a reliever with a year and a half left, whether it's Santana or Bednar, Keller would command more.
How about Reynolds?
See, I don't think they're going to trade Reynolds. I just don't. And I don't think it would be like a flat-out salary dump either that they would want to move him. That would also be counterintuitive to the whole point here, that they need to add offense, and they trade the guy that has been their most consistent hitter over the last 5 years.
Unless they got some offense and more of it younger in return.
Well, why would you trade Reynolds right now when he's only hitting .230?
Because he has 5 years of control and a number that's very, very franchise-friendly. And if someone is – you know how injuries go. You get near this deadline, if you're missing somebody in outfield and you need a bat, somebody they tend to overpay. This is going to be a seller's market.
Right.
There's a lot that you can do. People are going to want certain players because there's so many teams competing for these wild card spots. The one thing the wild card spot has done is made it almost yearly a seller's market at baseball time because there are a lot of teams involved and a lot of teams have thoughts about winning. So we'll see. 412-928-9370 is that number to call. But it was another game last night where I thought they were going to win the game after they took the lead. We saw a home run by Nick Gonzalez. He's been very good for them.
Very good.
He and
the solid hitter, Bob. He's consistent.
Even his outs are hard hit.
Yeah, he hits the ball hard. He finds gaps. He's not going to hit a lot of home runs. He plays pretty decent defense, too. He's just a good baseball player.
Right.
Good fundamental
no question,
baseball player.
But he should not be batting cleanup when he does
no.
it. That's another indictment of where this offense is. 412-928-9370, your thoughts on that. I don't know if you saw last night. Every day, you never know what you're going to see in sports. And last night, we saw something we've never seen before. Do you know what it was?
I think I do.
I think you do. You do your research.
I think I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
So the first time ever We saw an inside the park home run on the first batter of a game.
Yes. And
then a walk-off three-run inside the park home run in the bottom of the ninth inning by Patrick Bailey of San Francisco. I think it was Lawrence Butler for Oakland. Never saw that in one day.
No. I mean, how often do you get an inside the park walk-off home run to begin with? You know, didn't Roberto Clemente do it once?
Well, he actually did better than Patrick Bailey.
Wasn't it a grand slam?
Grand slam walk-off inside the park grand slam. I mean, that's I never thought, and it may never be challenged again. That still stands today as the number one walk-off inside the park home run. It was a grand slam by Roberto Clemente, but last night it was Patrick Bailey. And you know what it takes. You're playing in San Francisco. They have the outfield, which has different angles to it. The ball caromed in the wrong direction for the Philadelphia Phillies, and it allowed Bailey, who's not exactly fleet of foot, to get all the way around the bases. And two walk-offs in one night. That's something that you just don't see too much of. 412-928-9370. I have a question for everyone. How much depth do the Pirates really have in pitching? Let me know what you think. I'd like to hear your thought about and what it means to have depth. You can have prospect depth, but do you actually have legitimate, bona fide depth? And if so, would you be willing to trade Mitch Keller at 412-928-9370? I have some interesting things here that I've been trying to gather here, Austin, that I think are good talking points. One of them has to do with NFL coaches and who's going to be fired first. There's a list that came out that I saw, and I thought it was interesting because last summer, this one bet site, Sports Betting AG, predicted that Robert Saleh and Dennis Allen would be the first two, or at least the betting odds were those two would be fired. And they were, in that order. So who do you think heads the list this year in NFL coaches who would be first to be fired?
Probably Brian Daboll in New York.
That's correct.
Number one.
4-1 odds that he would be. And, you know, that's the team that Russell Wilson's going to go to. If he plays or not, we don't know. Mike McDaniel is second at 5-1. They got bad things going on there in Miami. He was brought in here, and everybody thought he was some, you know, brilliant
boy
coach,
wonder.
The boy wonder, all the metrics, everything else, and now things aren't working exactly as they Shane Steichen is next in Indianapolis. Kevin Stefanski, which is a name I didn't expect just because he's two-time coach of the year. They seem to love him in Cleveland. They give him 9,000 quarterbacks. That's not his fault. He's 13-2 after that. Nowhere on this list is the name Mike Tomlin. They list just about everyone. No Mike Tomlin.
No, I mean, he's completely safe. And the actions that the Steelers have shown, giving him an extension last year, it just kind of proves that. And the only thing is, if maybe they have a bottoming out season, I don't see it that plausible right now he's on any hot seat.
No, and quite frankly, he signed a 3-year deal. They're comfortable with what they have in both Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, so that's not going to change. I do think this could be a very interesting year and one that could work in their favor. And if so, they will be the talk of the NFL. I think they already are with the acquisition of DK Metcalf, followed up by Aaron Rodgers, followed up by Jalen Ramsey. They put together a big name list. Whether that list can produce what they want, we will see. But I think people are going to be aware of the Steelers. And if Aaron Rodgers does get time, there's enough left in that arm that can make a difference. He can be somebody who puts up the kind of numbers that's necessary for this offense to take a giant step forward. You know, that's out there. That's a possibility. It could also go the other way, too. There are too many ways this thing can go with Aaron Rodgers, but I think it's interesting to watch for 1 year, and it's a one-year-only situation. I see Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk suggested that the Steelers tell Aaron Rodgers not to go on the Pat McAfee show anymore.
Yeah, but then again, Bob, like if he does that, like if the Steelers demand that of Rodgers,
they would. First of all, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't demand it.
No, would that already be like setting up for a bad relationship? You know, like wasn't that what kind of derailed the Russell Wilson experience? Things got dicey. They couldn't work it out, and it ultimately led to a divorce. If they ended up doing that with Rodgers, and they're already setting these significant boundaries before they even completely start dating, there are going to be problems. Right?
Well,
don't you think?
But I also think he is who he is. He has that deal with him. He does it. I would hope that if Aaron Rodgers is going to say something against a teammate, which he's done before on that show, that he would confront the teammate first and foremost. You know, just go to him and say, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, as a matter of fact. When you have a position like quarterback, you have to be the guy who's going to be the communicator, the leader, the guy who demands respect and accountability. And if you do that first, if you talk about it, so be it. I mean, certainly Ben had his day when he had a show here on our station that he was not shy. And I think it's good, actually. I think it's very interesting. It's must listen to. You know, one thing, every time Aaron Rodgers is on Tuesday, I think people will be listening. So we'll find out. But I think, you know, once you bring Aaron Rodgers in, you're telling yourself, you know, there are going to be some sort of distractions along the way, potentially.
Yeah,
as
you know,
long as he
doing.
Delivers, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
And that's what we're counting on for 1 year. And for 1 year, it's not a big deal. If this were multi-years, I'd have an issue with it, I think, given his age. All right, let's get to the phone lines. We have people. I asked this question about pitching depth. What is it? Who would you trade? What do you do if you're Ben Cherington? We got a good list here, Austin.
Yes, the populace always responds to you, Bob. No doubt about it. Here is Mark in the car.
Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wanted to talk about how the Pirates, like organizationally, definitely overestimate their depth at pitching. Especially, I could have sides of the argument of dealing Mitch Keller at the trade deadline to get bats in return because they clearly need them. But as far as overestimating their prospect depth, I think is what is the big issue here, because I think the story going into this year was, well, how soon is Bubba Chandler going to come up here? And we've seen him, I'm not going to say regress, but he's definitely not looked as strong as he did at the beginning of the season down in AAA. So I definitely think something like that should be dealt at the trade deadline, along with relief pitchers like Bednar and definitely Santana, to try to get more bats, because clearly that's what they need right now to even be in any sort of contention for a wild card spot, if that is even possible.
So you're saying you would trade Bubba Chandler?
I would trade Bubba Chandler just because, not just because of recency bias of how he's definitely slipped, but I think for what that they need right now and moving forward years to come is you need hitting. They don't have it. They're losing all these 1-0 games and one-run games and everything like that throughout the year just because their hitting isn't consistent. They go on these streaks of, oh, well, we scored 37 runs in 4 games. That's all great and awesome that they broke a record for however many games it was. But now we're back to them back to being on a 6-game losing streak or soon to be, you know, and I think you just have to find consistency in that. And dealing Mitch Keller, I get it, but if you bring bats in, it will justify his, you know, his contract, which you already know what he's making. He's been reliable. It's just he just doesn't have the run support needed, along with Skeens, to get the job done on these close games.
All right, Mark, thank you. You know, there are people who believe that's the way to go. And before anyone actually sees Bubba Chandler and what he can do up here, most people, scouts and other organizations, would agree that he is one of the top prospects in baseball. And for that, you can get some offense, you would hope. I saw Roman Anthony had his first major league home run. We were talking a lot about him. Do you remember back at the beginning of this, Austin, where he was a guy who one-for-one trade for Mitch Keller?
Yeah, or Bubba Chandler. Or, would you do one-for-one?
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, Bubba Chandler, one-for-one.
Top pitching prospect, top hitting prospect.
If you watch his swing, and they had some MLB Network broke down, and they said it's one of the most perfect swings that they've ever seen, reminding people of, I think Andy Van Slyke here had one of the best swings. Do you remember when he was in the box? I mean, I thought it was one of the sweet swings of baseball.
Well, don't people say that like the left-handed swing is like the most pure swing that you can get?
Yeah.
Like if it's smooth and just compact through the baseball, it's just better than any right-handed swing possibly could be.
So you would trade Mitch Keller, or I mean Bubba Chandler, if you had a chance?
I would rather trade Keller than Chandler, just at the whatever the right price is. I still believe that Chandler's going to be really good. He's just going through some bumps in the road. And, I mean, he at times struggled with walks in AA, too. So it's not like, I mean, I guess this is a counterpoint to, you know, maybe against my argument, but he has dealt with walks at times, too. But as a power pitcher, 99, 98 miles an hour, I don't know if it's necessarily surprising. He just has to hone it in.
Raymond in Pittsburgh is on the line next. Let's go out to him. Hello, Raymond.
Good morning, Bob.
What's up?
I also believe that that we should do something and move an arm. I think the strength we have is pitching. We're overestimating it because of the success that our pitchers have had and the terrible batting that we've put out there makes the pitching look that much better. So I think we're just focused on that much more. But having said that, I believe the arms are fragile. And, yeah, the old adage that you can't have enough pitching is very true. But at the same time, I would move somebody, and not Keller, I would move one of the younger guys, whether it's Chandler or Ashcraft, simply because no one has seen them fail yet, and they are at the highest point of their value before we've seen them.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of thoughts about that. You see guys do it all the time in other organizations. They trade some of their top pitching prospects. I saw a story the other day that indicated that of the people in the last 5 years who have been top 10 pitchers, at least on prospect numbers here, weren't in the majors but were close and were ranked in the top 10, I think there were 13 of them moved and only 10 have reached their ultimate value, which is to be consistent pitchers in the major leagues. So, you know, that's to your point. They look good now. What will they look like in 2 years from now? Will they be exactly what you thought they would be? And if that were the case, you'd keep them all and just have them pitch, right? It would be an easy thing to do. Well, this guy looks great. He's ranked number 5 on our prospect list. He's going to be a star. Well, we've seen that doesn't always work. So thanks, Raymond. Appreciate the call. I the more I think about it, the more I would be in favor of doing something like that if I could. Guys who have not yet been up here in the majors, guys who still are valued because they are, quote, blue-chip prospects, and there are organizations out there who may like it. Now, the problem is the people who want that, they're very limited. The people who want current players to help their rosters are the teams that are going to be wanting to make these trades, the teams that are dealing with playoff possibilities. They don't want prospects. What they want are legitimate arms. And that's why it'd be hard to move some of those guys, I think.
Here's a tweet from a very frequent tweeter to the show, Presto, saying that he thinks Keller's value has actually never been higher and that it's pretty well known he's going to be one of the best arms available to teams that are desperate for the number 3 on a World Series contending team that's super consistent. Also thinks that because it's such a big seller's market, there's no reason why they can't get a top 5 prospect in someone's organization for him, somebody that's getting blocked in an organization that's actually ready for the bigs.
And I think that's a good point. I think that's what Ben Cherington and his staff should be doing. Should be looking at teams that have a lot of depth, that are needing starting pitching, someone of the caliber of Mitch Keller who could come in and really make a difference on their roster for right now to try to win, and try to get those players. Hopefully there'll be like 3 or 4 teams interested in Mitch Keller. So you could, really move that price up a little bit and try to get as much as you can. Because Ben Cherington knows he's going to be judged very harshly on this if he's still around at the end of this year. This trade, what they get and, how – and for them, I want players. I want players who are currently either in the majors, have been in the majors, younger guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.